I met with Hannah Beeman at the Main Street Daily Grind Coffee Shop in Front Royal, Virginia. A teacher of ecology at Mountain Vista Governor School, Beeman considers herself an environmentalist. And during the COVID-19 quarantine, she kept thinking, how can I do my part besides recycling, turning off the lights, and carpooling? Though those practices are all important, she wanted to dig deeper.
Native plants are a way that I could make an impact, you know, more than just saying, oh, I recycle this. Okay, but does recycling really make a big enough of a difference? Oh, I turn my lights off when I'm not using them. But does that really make a difference? I drive a little less. Or, you know, but do any of those things make a difference compared to these huge corporations who are, you know, a big part of the problem? But I can support a tiny bit more wildlife, insects, birds, etc., by having my little piece of acreage supporting wildlife.
She began looking at the plants that decorate our neighborhoods. Many are actually invasive species. According to the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation, invasive species are those introduced to ecosystems either intentionally or accidentally and cause harm to natural resources, economic activity, or humans. Such harms include reducing biodiversity, decimating crops, transmitting diseases, or crowding out or killing off native plants. When it comes to what we can do, Beeman offers the same advice she's been giving to her students.
And so when I led the semester with, I'm going to teach you like the best thing that you can do, like one superpower that you can have for the environment, and that's planting native plants.
The native plant superpower comes from making specific decisions about which plants populate our front lawns. Native plants work with the birds, bees, butterflies, and everything in between to produce the nutrients, habitats, and the support they need to live in an effortless manner. Beeman describes it as a symbiotic relationship.
And so you have this really close-knit relationship that's developed over thousands and millions of years between this specific maybe group of plants and small group of insects. And if you lose one or the other, then you lose the other half of the relationship as well. And so to support, you know, these specialists in the landscape, you need to keep also supporting their food source, their plants.
So Beeman had identified a problem and found a solution. But as a teacher who gravitates towards hands-on learning, she also needed a location to put this solution into practice. In her pursuit to find land to convert, she stumbled upon a rather large piece of land begging to be refurbished. The Shenandoah County Landfill had a filled and unused tract of land that was eventually going to be planted with invasive species. Hannah reached out to the landfill operations manager, Brad Dillinger, with her proposal, who was thrilled to help her with her project.
So usually landfills use whatever's cheap and easy, right? So turf grass or like Lespediza, this very aggressively growing, bushy, invasive plant. Yeah. So instead, this time, we used a seed blend developed with help from ecologists from the Blandy State Arboretum.
With the landfill's operation manager on her side, Hannah applied for the mini grant through the Shenandoah Valley Evergreen Project to help kickstart her project as well as reach out to an environmental nonprofit.
When I read a post on Facebook, yay social media, about Sustainability Matters, this amazing nonprofit that is spearheading this effort called Making Trash Blooms, trying to convince or work with landfills to, instead of planting invasives and turf grass and things that kind of make a green desert, very little value for wildlife, you know, put in native plants.
Together, they planned their project. Hannah enlisted the help of her students, hoping to give them a meaningful experience.
I love being able to get my students hands-on experience with real projects, collecting real data, using real tools, instead of, you know, there's a place in learning for kind of the imagination labs and things like that, but actually getting to be a real scientist and make a difference is amazing for a student.
Together, Hannah and her students began looking at what native plants they wanted to use on such a rough terrain.
But the great thing about native plants, these native meadow plants that we're putting in, is that they are adapted to our local climate and local soil conditions. They have complex root systems that help them, you know, hold on in pretty cruddy soil sometimes, better than other plants can. They are fairly drought resistant. You don't need to mow them as often to manage them. And so they really are the perfect plants to put in there. You just got to give them a little bit of help to get established, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
After months of preparation, Hannah and her team came together to hydro-seed the landfill cell. Hydro-seeding is where they mix together the seeds into a liquid solution and use a wide-range hose to spray a large area of land. Moving forward, Hannah and her team will continue to monitor and maintain their native plant garden. In about 5 to 10 years, they will tear off the top layer of soil, compact it, and put down a new layer. This will refresh the soil and create an even better environment for them to plant more seeds.
Native plants are something everybody can participate in. No matter, you know, if you have a yard, you can shrink your lawn and put in native plants. You can replace non-native plants with native plants. If you don't have a yard, if say you have an apartment with a patio, you can put a couple pots of native plants out there. You can also encourage your school, your local parks, your local library, your local landfill, your local government organizations, anything to put in native plants instead of choosing non-natives.
You don't need to go out and turn a landfill upside down, but BMET suggests making a conscious effort to choose native plants to your environment.
And so everything is connected to each other in the ecosystem, of course. And so if you really want to keep a resilient ecosystem that can continue providing services to wildlife and humans alike, you need more species represented than just what the landscaping companies are selling.